For those that have been along since we've been away, I'll do what Johandre does. My name is Roland, and this is my wife Patricia, and we lead this congregation when we are. Otherwise, the elders lead it capably without us. I'm going to tackle a subject today that's quite, you need to listen. It's quite meaty, and maybe you haven't heard it this way before. So what the title of the message is, what does it mean to be justified by faith? What does it mean to be justified by faith? So Romans 3 and verse 21. I'm going to read you, and you try and keep up there. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Whenever they say the law and the prophets, you know they're talking about the Old Testament. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all those who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned. This scripture is probably the scripture that I heard when I got saved. All have sinned. There's nobody special. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left sins committed beforehand unpunished. That scripture that Linda spoke about in 1 Samuel, if you go to Acts 13 and verse 22, it said, after the Lord removed Saul. How would you like to be removed? When God removes you, you stay removed. That was in the Old Testament. But justification is where, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we're able to live the life that He's called us to live. And you need to know that justification is an act, not a process. The process is called sanctification. It's as you move in your life with God, you continually working at being a better person. But being a good person won't get you into heaven. But a saved person will get into heaven. So it's an act. It happens. You put up your hand and you say, I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. There are no degrees of justification. Just because I'm an elder doesn't make me better than any one of you that is sitting here this afternoon. It's something that each believer has the right of standing before God. Because, not because of anything we did, but because of what Jesus Christ did. No sinner can justify himself before God. No sinner. If you haven't received Jesus, you cannot stand before God. You cannot. In the Old Testament, they were saved by behavior, how they lived. In the New Testament, we're saved by what we believe. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe it. I confess it with my mouth. Justification is a legal matter. It's a legal matter. It's done. That's it. There's no moving to the left or to the right. It's a legal act. It's apart from the law. It's outside of the Old Testament. Through faith in Jesus, believing that He died for you and rose from the dead. If you're sitting here this afternoon and you think, because I go to church, I'm a good person, I'm going to go to heaven, please, I want you to hear me. You are not going to go to heaven because you're a good person. You will only get into heaven when you have made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, when you believe that He died for you, that He hung on a cross, that He spilt His blood, He was buried, and He rose again, and He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, and the reason you are justified is when you take on that. When God looks at you, He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see you. Who's it for? It's for all men, verses 22 and verse 23. It's for all men. Every one of you this afternoon. Doesn't matter what your genetics are, what your whatever you believe, it's for all men. It's for you if you will open your heart and receive Him into your life. It's by grace. It's nothing you can do can make it happen. You can't do it. The only reason it happens is because He died. The word grace, I don't know if you've heard this, but the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Remember that. It's because of what He did for us. And so if we've been justified by faith, Paul then in chapter 5 is going to show us the benefits of being justified. Isn't that amazing? I think the benefit of being saved is the main thing. But actually, when you get saved, there's a whole lot of benefits that actually you receive. And so what are the blessings of our justification? Romans 5. And verse 1, and we're going to go up to verse 11, but I'm going to do them line by line, otherwise it's going to take too long. The first thing in verse 1 in chapter 5, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first benefit is peace with God. Let me tell you, you want to be at peace with God. You don't want to be at war with God. You want to be at peace with Him. It's peace with God and not of God. Of God, it actually says that we can give His peace. But He's speaking about peace with God. God's justice towards us is eternally satisfied. Second thing, chapter 5 and verse 2, through whom we have gained access by faith and through Jesus into this grace in which we now stand. We can't work ourselves into this place. It's not possible. It's when you are justified, the thing is we stand in grace and not in the law. Justification has to do with our standing. As I said earlier, sanctification has to do with our state, our condition. And I don't know, but I've been in full-time ministry now for 30 years. And even for myself, Christians are like creepy crawlies. They go doop, 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 doop. Then they go doop, 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 doop. They go 5 forward and 2 back. And then 2 forward and 5 back. We've got to be careful that we go forward more than we go back. But that's at any moment, people allow themselves to do things that they shouldn't. And they wouldn't normally, but they find themselves in this place of just this once. I started to laugh, Johannes not here, when he said, it's better to give than receive. I said to Patty, you are a good slap on the ear. It's much better to give it than to receive it. A child of the King can enter his Father's presence no matter what. That was, this afternoon. Doesn't matter. We can come in. We've had a terrible week. Patty and I haven't had a good week with her mom as it is, and we also moving into the house and stuff, and it's like, I think I'm still 21, and I ended up with a back that was so sore. But we can just come in here. We can come in and experience the presence of God. The The word access that I used means entrance to the king through the favor of another. So our entrance into the king because of the favor that Jesus Christ did for us. I sometimes, when I read through this stuff and I look at it, I just think, why? Why did you do this for us? You didn't have to. Chapter 5 and verse 2, the end part, it says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. One of our blessings of justification is glorious hope. Peace with God takes care of the past. We spoke about peace just now. Because our sins are no longer held against us. Access to God takes care of the present. We can come to Him at any time for the help we need. And hope, hope of the glory of God takes care of the future. One day we will share in His glory. One day we'll share in His glory. Verses 3 and 4, Christian character. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Oh, come on, Lord, do I have to suffer? Do I have to suffer? I don't want to suffer. Do I have to? But I need perseverance in my life. And perseverance develops character. And that is good because we don't want to be dodgy characters. And character produces hope. Hope gives us a future. A runner must be stressed to actually gain endurance. When I was young, I used to do a lot of athletics, and I used to wonder, why is the coach trying to kill me? We'd do these things. We'd run 100 meters, then walk 20 meters, then 100 meters, then walk. And it was terrible because just when you thought you couldn't go anymore, it'd say, again. In the defense force, when I was there, they used to say to us, when I blow my whistle, down. When I blow my whistle, up. When I blow my whistle, down. And you'd say, you see that tree over there? Go! And then as you're running, down, up, down. What is this all about? I don't need to be fit. I just need to be able to pull a trigger. I'll just practice like this. Sailors must go to sea. Tell Patty that. She loves going to sea. Hey, Patricia. Patty cannot handle going to sea. Soldiers go to battle. You know what happens in battle? People die. For Christians, tribulation is just part of our Christian life. You're not allowed to leave now while I'm talking this part. That's what the Bible says. We should not desire or hope for a tribulation-free Christian life. We don't have to look for trials and tribulations, and we don't have to despise or lose hope when they come. God uses tribulation in our lives. God uses difficult circumstances to build character in your life. God knows how much you can handle. And He carefully monitors as we face the tribulation. Justification, there's nothing in justification that allows you to escape from the trials of life. Unfortunately, when you're justified, it means you're going to still go through difficult things. Unsaved people go through difficult things, and sometimes we think, how come I have to go through what they do, or how come they are doing better than me? And I think in Hebrews it speaks about, Lord, you reign where you want to reign, not where I want you to reign, and at what time. No amount of suffering can separate us from the Lord. Instead, trials bring us closer to the Lord. When do you pray the most? Hey, when you're going through difficult times, hey, that's when you pray. So why don't you start praying more often at other times, and maybe you won't go through what you go through. But tribulation makes us more like Jesus. Guys, Jesus died on a cross. If you ever got time, Google crucifixion and see what Jesus went through. It is the most horrific death that you could go through, and we need to be putting ourselves to death all the time. When that self rises up and we want what we shouldn't be wanting, and we just like, yes, I want that now. And I want that profile. I want people to look at me and say how wonderful they are. Not that you don't. You guys are always saying how wonderful I am. But anyway, babes, you say it all the time. Perseverance, character, hope. Verses 5 and 8, God's love within. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, we sang that this afternoon. Holy Spirit, be poured out. You cannot receive the Spirit of God and the love of God if you are not justified and standing alongside Him and being with Him. You see, at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Jesus died for you. It says that Jesus was slain before the foundation of the earth. Before you were born, He allowed Himself to be crucified, that knowing that we would respond, we would be those that respond. So it's not something He did afterwards, it's something He did before. When we were still without strength, Paul describes the greatness of God's love. It is love given to the undeserving. To those without strength, to the ungodly, to the sinners. Isn't there a time when you're just like, hey, Lord, I can't carry on anymore. This is too much. There's been too many things, one after another. I cannot cope with this. And the Lord says, no, you can cope. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I've filled you with my love. God's love isn't given to us in a trickle. It's poured out into our hearts. Poured out, guys. It overflows in your life if you allow Him to. It's us. I think we restrict the valve, and He can't pour into our life the way that He wants to. We need to open that valve. Just now with the renovations and stuff, not that that had anything to do with it, but the emergency valve on my geyser packed up. And so there was this continual water leak. And I don't know how the guys work on the roof, because I was on the roof and I was like having to hold on it's a solo geyser. I was having to hold on the thing to pull myself up. And by the end of all of this, there was a trickle. But by the time I had to get up there, it was pouring out of there. Then I didn't even know where the valve was to shut off so I could sort the geyser out. So I had to trace that around, and oh no, man, it was terrible. But you know what? What I'm saying is, God has more than a trickle for you. What's the worst thing I can think of is a shower that's like, hey, I want a shower. I must feel it. While we were on holiday, I don't know what they had, but the thing almost blew us out the shower. Verses 9 and 10, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Guys, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the wrath of God. People all speak about the love of God. I think we need to preach a message on the wrath of God. Because if we are in a place where we are not, do not have our life surrendered to Jesus Christ, we can find ourselves in the wrath of God. The wrath of God coming against you. And you know what? I think we forget how bad that is, because most of us are serving God. Most of us have made Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the wrath of God, I think we've forgotten what it's like. For while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? When Jesus hung on that cross, and it was coming near the time for Him to die, and He said, "Tetelestai," it is finished. Meaning, my work has been done. I have opened up. And the picture in the Old Testament was they had this huge curtain that the Holy of Holies was behind. And that's where God lived. And as He said, "Tetelestai," that curtain was torn. It was torn from the top to the bottom, because man tears from the bottom to the top. But God tore it from the top to the bottom. It was a thick curtain. I don't know the dimensions, but it was. And as He said, "Tetelestai," that curtain was torn, and the earth shook. The sun went dark. Chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, "Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received reconciliation." Reconciliation means your relationship with God has been restored. So the benefits of justification: peace with God, access to God, hope, Christian character, God's love poured out, salvation from future wrath, and then last, reconciliation with God. So God sent His Son so that He would be the peacemaker between you and me. So when God's looking down on us and He's thinking, "No, I'm going to kill that guy," and Jesus jumps up in front of you and says, "No, my blood covers him. My blood covers him." But you know what? Jesus will never do that if you haven't received Him as Lord and Savior. You can't expect that protection if there hasn't been your commitment, your believing. You can't have benefits without believing. You can't have blessing without believing. It revolves around the fact that you have made a decision, and I'll read the scripture that most people read. It's in Romans 10 and verse 9. It says, "If you declare with your mouth, 'Jesus is Lord,' and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." I've had people say, "Yes, I believe," but they've never confessed it. They've never proclaimed the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. If you're sitting here today and you think, "Hey, I go to church and I believe in Jesus," but it actually says that you need to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And it also says, your heart, in your heart, that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The day that I got saved, I remember the guy saying, if you don't confess Jesus before others, he won't confess you before God. If you don't confess Jesus before others, because people would put their hand up and then they'd leave. But there hasn't been a public confession of the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord in my life. And sometimes even when we pray for people, we pray for people and they want to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. We need to lead them in the prayer in a way that honors that scripture. They need to confess that he died for them, he rose, and that he is now Lord of their life. And as a confession before others.